Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane is not in today, so I am sitting in for her. My name is Greg Bach. I am the co-host of this show. And along with the man, the myth, the legend, the slider of sounds, and other nicknames we're going to give him today, Calvin Butenhoff. Calvin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much for asking. We have a wonderful show for you today. I'm going to be sitting in for Jane today, and we've got great guests at 10:30. We have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, as well as headliner of the Laughing Tap this weekend, Mr. Ian Abramson. He is a Chicago-based comedian. He'll be at the Laughing Tap this weekend. And we're just going to talk comedy and have some fun. He is a very interesting man, very smart person, very nice guy. And we're going to have a lot of fun. You can always talk to us by reaching out on the phone or the text line, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or if you are watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment in the live stream comment area by watching us on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter/X. Before we move anything else along, Calvin, you know what people should be doing today, right now, if they haven't?
It's really important if they haven't.
Thank you. If Calvin says it's important, it's important. First thing you need to do is download the free Civic Media app. First thing you do that. You can do that because you're going to download that app, and then you are going to pick a station, whether you're listening to WEUK, WISS, MDX, got tons of stations. But then you're going to send a text because you can text through the app. You can call through the app as well, but right now you want to text because we are doing the contest, the Rhine to Spring Text to Win contest, where four times a day, 7 a.m., we did that earlier today, 10 a.m. right now, at 1 p.m. during Todd Alba's show, and then 3 p.m. during Maggie Dawn's show, we'll be giving you a word to text in, and you will be immediately entered into a contest, and the winner of each hour's contest will win an overnight to Chula Vista Resort. Those contest winners, as well as everyone else who has entered, will then be put into a grand prize drawing, and we'll be giving away a 3-in-1 blender as well as some patio furniture, as well as you could win some bikes. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to get that Civic Media app open. You're going to hit that text button. Text to the station of your choice. And you're going to text the word MOVE, M-O-V-E. M-O-V-E. MOVE is the word of the hour at 10 a.m. Text it in now. I'm feeling that my smartwatch is going to start blowing up with text messages because you all have been very, very active for this contest, and we appreciate that. We had tons of text messages yesterday. And, yeah, so be a part of it. Enter once an hour. It's going to be today. I believe today is the last day of it.
I believe that's right, Greg.
So you have two more chances after this hour at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Oops, there it goes. Boom, 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 boom. Buzz, 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 buzz. To enter. So this hour's word, it changes every hour, is MOVE, M-O-V-E. And good luck to all who participate. A little bit of sad news to report for, he's doing work up until last year in the movies, but Louis Gossett Jr. has passed away at the age of 87. He was the first black man to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. His family has reported this morning that he has passed away peacefully in Los Angeles, and we don't have a cause. And you know what? That's fine. It's not our business. We can just say we appreciate the work he's done. Grew up watching his movies and stuff that he did in TV. Like I said, he won an Oscar. He also won a Golden Globe for An Officer and a Gentleman and won an Emmy for the landmark miniseries Roots. But I know him. I'm of a certain age. I know him from the movie franchise Iron Eagle. If you haven't seen it, you just need to watch the first, maybe the second one, and then there you go. But Louis Gossett Jr., gone at the age of 87. Also, did you ever, Calvin, watch Watchmen on HBO?
I have not seen it.
Oh, I think you'd truly enjoy it. He was also in that. I was actually surprised because I hadn't seen him for years. And one day I'm just watching the show. I'm like, there's Louis Gossett Jr. Excellent. He's fantastic. So, yeah. RIP to Mr. Gossett Jr. Now, really quick question for you. I talked about this earlier during Up North News Radio, but I wanted to bring it back up again to the people out there who may be part of this program. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program. It is a program that came out of the 2021 bipartisan infrastructure plan, which basically allowed people to access internet at an affordable rate. And that program is going away. And I'm telling people that right now because you might be doing that. It says here in an article that was written by Quinn Clark, Quinn, who has actually been on the show before, Quinn Clark says that 1 in 6 Wisconsinites will see a spike in internet bills with the end of the affordable connectivity program. So if you are a part of this program, you need to get a hold of your cable company and talk to them. But more importantly, well, actually, just as importantly, you need to call your congressional offices, senatorial offices, because there is an extension that's on the line and they have not yet passed it. They still need to pass it. And if you are part of this program and you want to keep getting that affordable internet access, call your congressman, call your senator. Always, as we say here at Matt and Air on Air, be polite when you do it, because those individuals are there to help you and there to take your call. And tell them that you want them to extend that affordable connectivity program, because it means you have access to the internet. Because it's not just about fun times and the Facebook and, you know, whatever the young kids are on. What is it, the TikTok? That's what the young kids like?
Yes, the TikTok.
Is there something that's making TikTok seem old now? Like, is there a new and cool app out there that people are like, oh, I don't go on TikTok. That's for grandpa.
No, TikTok's
all right.
TikTok's holding firm for right now.
TikTok's holding strong, still number one app amongst the young.
It's actually kind of weird. Instagram Reels and Facebook Reels, which actually came out after TikTok,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
are the old person one.
That's what I go on the, I don't know what it is. I don't know why I go on Instagram Reels versus TikTok. I can go on Instagram Reels for hours, but for some reason TikTok, it's like 2-3 minutes. I'm good. I'm fine. But yeah, but it's also about having access to banking information, access to voting information, access to medical information. So if you were one of those 1 in 6 Wisconsinites using the affordable connectivity program, you want to get in touch with your cable company to see what they can do to help you keep that bill low, and also get a hold of your elected officials to tell them that you want to extend this program because it is about to end. Yeah, I didn't even know that. I'm lucky enough where I can afford my internet. Even it's not cheap, but, you know, we do what we do. We got lots of text coming in. This is wonderful. I love seeing all the text coming in for the ride into spring contest. Now, when we talk about voting, one of the things I really want to discuss with y'all is the fact that Tuesday we have an election coming up, and it's important to know, we've talked about this before, it's important to know your ballot, know who's up for office. We need to know where we're going to be voting. And there's really one place we've been talking about forever here at Matt and Air on Air. It is myvote.wi.gov. Go to that website, plug in your information, and it will tell you everyone who represents you, from the president of the United States down to your alderman persons or your county supervisors. Heck, if you have a dog catcher that's elected to the office, they will let you know that too. The reason why we tell you this is because we want you to be informed on who represents you. Also, where your polling place is. What is on your ballot? We had a League of Women Voters on this week talking about 2 referendum on the bill or on the ballot. As always, very confusingly written. And hard to understand, and we wanted to break that down. If you want to check that out, you can go to civicmedia.us and download the episode with Deborah Cronmiller from League of Women Voters, and you can find out more about that. But go to myvote.wi.gov, because you can also find out if you are registered, and that is very important. That is the difference between a 5-minute drive to going to vote and possibly 2 to 3 hours, depending on where you live, because names, whether it's neutral or nefarious, are sometimes taken off the voter rolls. And if you don't know that, you have to re-register. And if you don't have the information needed, you either are sent home or you're going to be waiting in line. But we want you to be prepared. So go to myvote.wi.gov to see if you are registered. If you are registered, you're going to be good. Stand in line, cast that ballot, go get yourself a shake, get yourself something sweet for voting. If you aren't, then you got to register right away. If you can't and you have to register on the day of, make sure you have everything you need, which I believe is an ID, and you have to have some sort of piece of mail that shows that you live at the address you're at. And then, like I said, if you have to wait, you're going to have to wait. Bring some comfy shoes, bring a podcast, but we want you to be prepared for voting on Tuesday and then, of course, voting this fall. But go to myvote.wi.gov. Calvin, have you voted yet?
I have not voted. I'm a traditionalist. I always vote on the day of.
I feel like this week we've gotten two things from Calvin when it comes to, like, I don't want to say traditionalist. That's, first of all, you're a day of voter. I respect that. And then I believe that the other thing was the bacon at Culver's.
Yes, those are two things I feel passionately about.
If you really want to get on Calvin's bad side, tell him how much you love thick, flimsy, chewy bacon. He just will just see, if you're watching right now, he's holding in his rage right now. So, but yeah, Tom from LA, I see you on the line. Actually, you know what, Tom, let's take you right now. We only got about a minute and a half left, but what can I do with you, Tom?
Hey, Greg, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that.
Okay.
And that's why voting is so important.
Absolutely.
Second is that the ACP, or what I call the Joe Biden and the Democratic discount on your internet, gives you $30 off of your internet package. So $30 is a lot for some families and for some people. So please call in.
Yeah.
And you know what? Tell them we the people are the government. And you know what? It's finally the one benefit that we all got, and we need to continue to have it on. And you need to tell the Republicans that if they don't bring this ACP thing back, or the Joe Biden and Democratic internet reduction program, that you're going to bolt their butts out of office.
But do it politely. We always say be polite. So thank you very much, Tom. I couldn't agree with you more. Call those offices. Let them know that you are the people and that you are the ones who are voting for their bosses. So when we return, we're going to be talking about a little known story. If I said, Calvin, to you, the Hello Girls, does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely nothing.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. We are back, and I'm so thankful for Calvin. I had a request for him today. We are celebrating, at least I'm celebrating. This is for me. Maybe this is just me, but it's Beyonce Day, or as I'm calling it, Beyonce Day, because she has released her new album, Cowboy Carter, or Act Two, Cowboy Carter, because it's part of it's part two of her trilogy that started with 2002's Renaissance. This album got a lot of attention for being more on the countryside. It is country. It's soul. It's blues. It's gospel. It's all that Texas flavor that she has because she is from Texas. And I'm not going to complain about it. I will never complain when it's country music. Kelvin, I think I've asked you this before. You like country music?
I'm not a particular fan, but I am excited about her cover of the Beatles' Blackbird
on
this album.
Very beautiful. Very, you know, I'm like you with bacon and burgers at Culver's. I'm very traditionalist with the Beatles. I'm not a huge fan of Beatles covers because I feel like they're either making it completely the same or they're taking it somewhere in a weirdo direction. But this is very understated. It's very simple, very tasteful, as you know, I'd expect nothing less from Beyonce. This album, this single, Texas Hold'em, got some controversy when it was released after the Super Bowl because it took country radio 4 whole days to realize Beyonce had a country song, and thousands of calls came through and they finally put her on the air. So we are celebrating Beyonce Day, or as I call it, Beyonce Day, by playing some tracks from the album today. Now, Calvin, I asked you before about the the Hello Girls, and that you said that meant nothing to you, or you didn't know what it was.
Correct.
What would you do if I said that you were going to go to Paris and have, you know, a nice time with a pretty dinner party or a vacation with cut flowers and attractive name cards? You'd probably want to do that, right? You'd want to go to that?
Sure.
Well, why I'm talking about this is because four women from Wisconsin are being recognized for their work in World War One. And when they went to World War One to work as operators, getting calls through the front line to the offices, they weren't actually called veterans when they came back. When the papers describe what they were doing while they were deployed overseas, they used things like a party, a pretty cut flowers, because they weren't considered actual soldiers in the war. Well, 1918, when the war ended, 2 years later, they would get the right to vote, and it would be another 58 years before the U.S. government would recognize these women, all the women, not just these four, because four of them are from Wisconsin, would recognize them as veterans. They were called the Hello Girls because they were in charge of the signal operation. They were some of the first female, they were one of the first female combat soldiers, and their names for the ones here in Wisconsin were Martina Hainan from Green Bay, Alice Borson from La Crosse, Blanche Grand Maitre, I apologize to their family if I'm pronouncing incorrectly, from Chippewa Falls, and Hildegard Van Brunt, which is a very early 20th century name. Hildegard Van Brunt, who lived in Oshkosh and Milwaukee. They were a part of this group called the Hello Girls, and they were the Army Signal Corps operators during World War One. And it's very interesting because the granddaughter of, this is how long it took, the granddaughter of one of them, Martina Hainan, is 60 years old today. And she was in her late 20s when they were finally recognized. And it's very just, you know, we're coming at the end of Women's History Month, and I wanted to pass along just a piece of women's history. We don't have time to get into it. I'd actually love to have Natalie Albert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who wrote this article and actually works for the Green Bay Press Gazette, because this is just a very interesting story of women serving their country and then being told that you are not a soldier, you are not a veteran, and then finally, during the Carter administration, getting that recognition of what they deserve. Have you ever heard anything like this before, Calvin?
I have heard a little bit about women historically being a part of like things like the Revolutionary War and mm-hmm. the Civil War. I was not aware of their role in World War One. I assume I've always thought of women in the military before whatever the 90s when they fully integrated military. Always thought, well, women were always medics. That's what they did in the military.
Yeah. I mean, that's for the longest time our government had a very backwards idea on women's role in the military, especially when it came to things like combat. They always felt like, you know, that's going to be bad for the soldiers, bad for morale. And really, when it comes down to it, as long as you have good soldiers out there helping each other, that's what keeps the morale going. This makes me actually think of, you know, we had a conversation earlier this week about women during the Middle Ages and just the rewriting of history and how the paper, when they came home, referred it to as a nice party. I mean, granted, it was war. Things happened, but they were in Paris. And I just don't know what it would have been like to come home and serving your country during what was considered the Great War and being told, oh, that must have been lovely for you while you were away. I mean, I don't know. I just, this story grabbed me and I wanted to talk to you guys about it. I mean, there was also a documentary about them released in 2018 that I am going to be probably watching this weekend. I believe it's called The Hello Girls, and I want to know more about this. And if I could, I actually might reach out to one of the relatives to see if they could talk about it, because recognizing the role the women served in our military, especially during those days when we did not see them as soldiers, is important to remember, to recognize, and to hold up at all points. We had Judge Derek Mosley talking on the role of women in the military. And we have stories like this, and it's just great to see these stories kind of come to light, especially as we're ending, coming to the end of Women's History Month. But as we've been told, every month is Women's History Month. Calvin, we always have to remember that, me and you. All right?
Yes, we do.
Really quick, also, just before we go have some coffee and or water or get some snacks, today is opening day, finally, for the Brewers. Last two games were postponed. Today's game looks like it's going to be happening. We've heard nothing to the contrary. Milwaukee Brewers at New York Mets. The game starts at 12:40, but you can tune in at 12:05 on Civic Media on the radio stations around the area, because we will be carrying that game live. You can listen to that news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center. We can also listen to that WRJN, as well as Oshkosh Air Support. So listen to that first game of the Brewers. And if you were going to opening day, let me know. Give a call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Are you going to it? Text us. Let us know what your plan is. I'll be there on Tuesday. I'm very much looking forward to it. And also, we will be carrying, if you're listening to locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, we're carrying the Wisconsin versus Quinnipiac hockey game at 4 p.m. today. So today, you can listen to that on locally grown radio, WFHR. All right, when we return, we've got Mr. Dan Schaefer, who last time I saw a picture of him, he's got a smart haircut. He's a smart guy. He's award-winning. He's from the Recombobulation Area, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Take it dead again, leave me alone, leave me alone. Damn if I do, damn it if I don't. Lady with a whip, won't what she wanna want. Okay. Tired, every time I ride it. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Air today, and as always, we have Calvin on the boards, and he's heard of Top Chef. That's good to know. I'm just seeing it on his live stream that he has heard of Top Chef. Good job. And we are very excited to be here on a Friday. I always like hosting on Fridays because that means I get to talk to my buddy, the founder of award-winning The Recombobulation Area, Mr. Dan Schaefer. How you doing, Dan?
Doing well, Greg. Always glad to be here. Good to talk to you. Excited to recombobulate on a Friday.
Oh yeah, baby. Because you gotta do that, and then you shake it off, and you get enjoy that Saturday and Sunday of listening to nothing but Cowboy Carter. Because it's Beyonce Day. Happy Beyonce Day to those who celebrate. So
happy Beyonce Day.
We have a lot to talk about, and we wanted to kick things off today. Something I was discussing before the referendums in the last segment. Dan, wanted to break it down. You wrote an article for the Milwaukee Record about this. So why don't you talk about that, and let's break it down some more.
Yeah. So I just a piece I wrote about the spring election in Milwaukee just went up at Milwaukee Record. I also wrote a piece earlier this week on the city attorney's race in Milwaukee, and I also have written a piece about the two ballot referendum questions that are going to be on the ballot statewide.
You hear that, everybody? Dan Schaefer's better than you.
I just type a lot, Greg. You do. I love it.
You type
just
great words. Type.
And so the ballot referendum, you know, there's going to be important races for people to pay attention to, you know, up and down the ballot in whatever community you're in. So be sure to know what's on your ballot, know what's coming. Do some research on the candidates. You know, there's a lot of school board races around the state, you know, that I didn't get a chance to write about. But, you know, a lot of those, you know, culture war fueled candidates in a lot of these school board elections. So make sure you're aware of those. But also be aware of what's going on in a number of these referendum questions that are going to be on the ballot statewide. So no matter what community you're in, these will be on your spring election ballot. And these are both of these questions are very much driven by the post-2020 election denier conspiracy theory crowd in the Republican Party, and they couldn't pass a bill, a bipartisan bill, on this issue to try to get, you know, private funds out of elections. So they instead are turning to a referendum and trying to, you know, I think I saw one, you know, good government advocate call this kind of the last gasp of the gerrymandered Wisconsin legislature. And so they, you know, passed this in successive sessions to get it on the ballot for this spring election, thinking that, hey, we're going to have a lot of Republican voters in the spring election because we have the presidential primary, and who knows who's going to be, you know, running against Donald Trump by then. Well, Donald Trump cleaned up the field pretty early in this race. You know, folks like Ron DeSantis were clearly not up to it. So now we're at, you know, so now this, I think, has emerged as one of the most interesting, you know, interesting statewide issues on the ballot are these two referendum questions. And I, in my piece, I wrote about why you should vote no, because this is good in theory to get private funds out of elections, but bad in practice and worse in process. So bad in practice being that this does not actually fund elections. You know, if this referendum were to pass and ban private funds from election administration, this would not commit any new funding to election administration. And so, you know, and the bad process for this is doing it not in a bipartisan way as a bill in the state legislature, which is what they should be doing. You know, we shouldn't be amending the state constitution every time the gerrymandered Republican legislature can't pass a bill. So I, you know, this is an issue that I think should be addressed. I just don't think it should be addressed by amending the state constitution. And I think that's why, that's ultimately why I think people should vote no on these.
We had Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin on, and she was talking about the same thing. She said, if you can't pass it with a bill, do not put it in the state constitution. She said there are as many constitutional amendments or changes in the Wisconsin constitution that are overriding old amendments. Because we constantly do that. We don't get our way in the state house. So we put it on the constitution. Then they realize that was a really dumb idea. Now we have to go back and redo it. And I saw a tweet today of Mr. Brian Schimming, director of the Wisconsin GOP, retweeting Tom Tiffany and about their fantastic distillation of the whole topic of just calling it Zuckerbucks.
Right.
They always have to have that bite-sized piece of information that lets you know what it's about. And I always felt like that was a terrible use of words. Well, for one thing, it's just terrible to say it out loud. But also, when I think of Zuckerbucks or Zuckerman or Facebook, I think of a platform that helped get their guys elected, not so much the other way around. So that's their big thing now. Get Zuckerbucks out. They don't want that outside money.
Yeah, and I think it just, we've seen in study after study after study and analysis after analysis that, you know, this didn't have an impact on the results of the 2020 election.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you get some of these very serious conservatives out there saying, oh, well, you wouldn't want the, you know, the Koch brothers or whatever funding election administration. Was just like, they still have to abide by all of the laws of the state of Wisconsin, which is what happened in 2020 when the Zuckerberg funded Center for Tech and Civic Life funded a lot of these election administration issues. You know, maybe if Republicans wanted to avoid problems like this, they could have, you know, at any point during this whole time, taken action to provide dedicated funding to election administration so that, you know, local municipalities wouldn't have to rely on grants. To fund, you know, they, instead of doing taking action to address this in 2020, they took a 300-day break. And so now we're here dealing with the consequences of that. And so I think, you know, it's good in theory to get private dollars out of election administration, but until we're properly funding them with public dollars and until we have a bipartisan solution on this, like, you know, we get a lot of, there are a lot of bills that pass in the state legislature that might have like one or two Democratic votes, you know, on a certain issue here and there. This bill that they passed about Zuckerbucks had zero Democratic votes and Tony Evers vetoed it. Yeah. I think that should tell you something, that they were not able to get a single person in the state legislature to agree on this, and they just, you know, and again, instead just trying to go around the traditional process and make this a constitutional amendment. I just don't think that's what the state constitution should be for.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about how divided things are, and they can be, and they are, and you know, but this has been a state house that has passed a lot of bipartisan bills that we haven't heard about. So the fact that zero Democrats, Tony Evers, it says loudly that this is not even purely partisan, just like, as you said, it's just a bad idea. Just a bad. Yeah. If you're listening, if you're just tuning in right now, we are talking to, on Friday, as always at 10:30, Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, what else was is in the article?
So I also, in the Milwaukee Record piece, it took a very Milwaukee focused
really?
Look at at the spring election.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different spring election than what we've had in Milwaukee in the past few years. You know, there's not as much intrigue at the top of the ticket. You know, in 2022, we had our first open race for mayor in the city in nearly two decades. You know, that was a pretty big deal with Cavalier Johnson eventually winning that race. In 2020, we had a pretty contentious race with an open seat for Milwaukee County Executive that David Crowley ended up winning by a pretty slim margin. You know, obviously we've had some high profile state Supreme Court races on the ballot statewide in spring elections. Yeah. So we don't quite have that in this election, but we still do have a lot of interesting things happening up and down the ballot in Milwaukee. I mentioned, I also wrote about the city attorney's race. I endorsed Evan Goyke in that race. Goyke has been a longtime state representative, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, and he's been running for this office and city attorney for quite some time, because the incumbent city attorney, Tierman Spencer, has just been an ongoing disaster in his first term. All sorts of chaos and corruption. And I think he just had to pay, you know, a nearly $80,000 settlement to deal with some harassment allegations. So it's just, there's a, and I get into it, there's just like a laundry list of crazy that Tierman Spencer has brought to that office. A once quiet office in municipal government, the city attorney's office, has been just a constant churn of controversy during Tierman Spencer's time there. So I endorsed Evan Goyke. Evan is a terrific state legislator. Mm-hmm. And I think he will really have an opportunity to transform this office and really get into the weeds on the details. So that's one to look to, you know. And then in the Milwaukee Common Council, there's been a lot of turnover in recent years. This year doesn't really have quite as much of it. There's a lot of nearly half of the races are uncontested. But I think part of that is because we have had, you know, a lot of special elections, recent elections, mm-hmm. Since 2020. So I think 7 of the 15 members have turned over since 2020, since the last, you know, general election for the Common Council. So a lot of change there, but still, you know, a number of open seats that are going to be contested there. So I got into some of the races there on the Milwaukee Common Council and the Milwaukee County Board. And then there are a couple races that I wrote about too, that are, it's just like, why is this an elected position? Should we really be electing comptrollers? Is there can you get on one side or the other for an accountant? I don't
really think we should be elected accountant, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you. When I worked at the city of Racine, one of the things they did was they took the city clerk's office off the ballot. Like, it doesn't need to be run. And especially now, like, there's no such thing as a non-contested seat, or not contested, but one that's like, well, it's just, you know, it's a school board. I'm just gonna talk to some teachers. Everything is a hotly debated topic. And right. I thought that was a really great move. Yeah, comptrollers, those can be appointed jobs. We don't really need to see yard signs on that.
I mean, I live in a very politically active neighborhood in the city of Milwaukee, and I have seen comptroller signs in the neighborhood. So I guess that's just goes to show like what type of election that we're having in Milwaukee, since the, you know, we're not seeing signs for mayor or county executive or a lot of these, you know, higher profile offices. There's actual comptroller signs around here on the west side of Milwaukee.
I want to see a sign that says, you know, like Bob Nelson, the anti-woke comptroller. Because you know that's out there somewhere. Someone thinks that, you know, it's all about being woke. So, yeah. I mean, in Kenosha, it's a very simple race. We just got some city council. We got, you know, a little bit of this. It's not that big of a deal. Actually, we got a mayor's race open and Democrats fighting to be who's the real Democrat now. And they're both Democrats. So, yeah. But yeah, we're going to continue talking to Dan Schaefer. Oh, actually, really quick before we go to break, Sherry from HorrorCon, great friend. She is my three headlines and a lie partner this week. She did great. She said, how do I find out what is on my ballot in HorrorCon, Wisconsin, Dodge City? Great, Dodge County. Great question. You, Sherry, as well as anyone else who is wondering, you are going to go to myvote.wi.gov. You're going to plug in your information. It'll tell you what's on your ballot, who your reps are. It'll give you all the information you need. And make sure, Sherry, to check that you are still registered where you live. Because if you're not, you're going to have to re-register. And that can be a little bit of a headache. But you want to register to vote. You want to go vote. Myvote.wi.gov. When we get back, we're going to have Dan here because he stays for the rest of the half hour. It's going to be a good time. And we're going to talk some more politics, some more, I think some more elections, some possible elections. Who knows? Some people running. But stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's taking the day off. And happy Beyonce Day to all who celebrate. That is the cover of Jolene, which I will listen to 1,000 times this weekend because her new album, Cowboy Carter, is out today. Get it, celebrate it. Renaissance Part 2. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, the award-winning Recombobulation Area, is here talking about the election coming up. And you wanted to discuss the MPS referendum, which I know there's tons of school referendums around the state, but let's touch on that MPS one.
Yeah, becoming a bit of a trend in the state of Wisconsin that we have so many school districts turning to referendum to fund various things. Maybe that says something about the way we fund our schools at the state level.
What?
I know. It's possible that there could be a little bit of a cause and effect happening here. So, yeah, there are 91 districts across the state that are going to referendum in this spring election. So no matter where you're tuning in from, you might have one on your ballot. But here in Milwaukee, the state's largest school district is, again, turning to referendum, saying that they want to make sure that they avoid some pretty steep potential cuts. And so that they are asking voters here to approve a property tax increase to raise up to I just want to make sure I have the exact dollar figure here, $252 million for the Milwaukee Public School Districts. The district has said this could mean a 13% cut for schools and a 26% cut at the central office. This plan has been met with a pretty significant pushback in the region, largely from the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the MMAC, the large business lobby in the region, which is now led by former Republican state legislator Dale Coenga of Brookfield. And so it's certainly speaking to a lot of the, you know, the divides that we have in the region over, you know, kind of suburb versus city and public versus private school and, you know, business community versus versus unions in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think because we don't have the close mayor's race, close county executive race, a number of these other issues, you know, don't have the statewide race for state Supreme Court. I think this in Milwaukee has emerged as probably the biggest biggest thing on the ballot. And I expect this one to be pretty close. You know, it, 4 years ago, the MPS turned to referendum for $87 million. That passed pretty overwhelmingly with more than 75% of the vote. But it, that was also a pretty weird election. If you look back to that, was the 2020 election when so many of the polling places were closed during the early onset of the pandemic. I'm not sure how much info we could really draw from that, but I think this one, you know, it's been a well-funded effort opposing the increase in property taxes for this referendum, a lot of MPS advocates have been been pushing back on a lot of this as well. You know, I think there's some, the thing about MPS is I think there are, you know, legitimate questions and criticism that people can have of leadership there, like any large public institution.
Of course.
But I think there is so much bad faith criticism of the school district in and around Milwaukee that it makes it difficult to parse through the nonsense to get to the legitimate concerns. And so, you know, I think, you know, people are not wrong to have some legitimate concerns here. But is the best way of addressing those concerns taking funding away from schools, away from teachers, away from, you know, students? So I think that's a question that a lot of people across Milwaukee are asking themselves as they get ready to go to the ballot box with this referendum there.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. And I feel like, you know, that's an interesting thing to say, is like when you say taking the money away from kids and from faculty, it's, I feel like, you know, politicians and special interest groups do such a good job as painting them as not like good at their job. And like, I don't want to even use the words because I don't think it's true. So it's easy to say, well, I don't want to give them any more money. I gave you $87 million. Why do you need this now? It's like, cause schools need to be funded to be good, to get kids what they need. And if you think that passing that money along in school choice vouchers is the plan, well, then obviously you're not checking the details in, you're not looking at the devil in the details, essentially. So we have Andrew from Waukesha on the phone. Andrew, what say you, my friend?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So I don't live in Milwaukee, so please don't laugh at me for having an opinion about something outside my district. But first of all, nobody has claimed that teachers are going to be fired. Am I correct? And I would hope that you mention a former superintendent of this district has editorialized against the referendum. So again, you can claim that students, who, by the way, students don't get money, they don't get paid, so nobody's taking any money away from students. As far as I know, no teachers are going to be fired. You have to at least consider that there is a lot of money flushing around in that district because of COVID, because they almost got, I think, $800 million due to COVID, that they might not actually need this money. And if, from what I understand, there is a current sitting school board member who is claiming just that. So again, before you start laughing at Coenga and all the crazy Republicans, this is a pretty serious issue to consider.
Well, thank you for calling, Andrew. I appreciate it. I wasn't laughing at the issue. I was laughing at Coenga going from politician to special interest group. That's why I always laugh when I see that kind of stuff. Dan, what are your thoughts? We're wrap it up before we get out of here.
Yeah, I think it's I think that's an important conversation to have. And maybe I could have phrased what I was saying about money for students better. But I do think, you know, there's a recent article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about how principals and teachers across the district are planning for 13% cuts. And I think that could impact a lot of the, you know, special education type things and certain programs and things like that. And look, I do think there are legitimate questions to be asked of the leadership in the district. Also would reference a Wisconsin Policy Forum report on the COVID funding that MPS used. And they characterized it as a largely, you know, smart way to use that funding for kind of a lot of one-time issues. And I think this is more, this referendum is going more towards an operating budget type of thing. So I know we're running low on time.
Yeah, we could
talk, this is an issue we could, a lot of people could talk about a long time. So
Dan Schaefer is the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Please go there, subscribe, get yourself a paid subscription because it is worth it. As always, Dan, thank you for being here on Friday at 10:30. When we return, Matt and Aaron Air, that's the 11 o'clock hour. Don't forget to text MOVE to the app and get yourself into the Ride to Spring contest. We'll see you soon. Stick around.